Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is Art Burns, and I am so excited today, and I didn't even realize it. I can't believe what happened yesterday. I just totally glossed over a huge milestone. I get so wrapped up in the work that I just, you know, it just slipped my mind. I knew about it on Friday, and then yesterday when I was doing my recording, I didn't realize until after I was typing up the description that yesterday was our 500th episode. And that, my friends, is something else. My gosh. It means that for about 2 years now, solid two calendar years. Actually, it's more than two calendar years, I think. But anyway, for a long time now, 500 times I have sat here and I have delivered these messages to you on video and in audio on the podcast. And I cannot tell you how excited I am to see that we've done this 500 times. It's just amazing. It's actually even a little bit more than that because I had launched the podcast and the YouTube channel a month or so, probably a couple of months before I started numbering the episodes. So there actually are probably about 550 episodes or something like that to be true. But yesterday, typing up episode 500, that was exciting. I'm telling you, it was very, very, just thrilling, you know. I'm so excited about this. So anyway, I humbly thank you, and I enthusiastically just, I have so much gratitude for you for coming in and watching these and listening to these episodes and just and being here. You know, thank you all of you who have asked questions. Thank you all of you who have sent in requests for topics to cover. Thank you for all of you who have commented. Thank you for all of you who have shared. Thank you for all of you who have subscribed to my channels. Thank you. I am just over the moon. I cannot believe that it's 500 episodes. You know, I remember when I first started this, it was like, you know, there literally nobody on the list, like literally nobody. I think I invited like my wife and a couple of friends just so that I had not to have a zero on there. And then I remember like when it was like 10 people, it was like, oh my gosh, I got 10 people in my list. This is incredible. And then it was 20, and then it got to 100, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Well, now I'm at 305 YouTube subscribers, and my podcast has been downloaded on Anchor. Let me just get the right number here real quick on my phone. It has been downloaded. Let's see. Episode 500 was played 25 times yesterday. My podcasts have been downloaded or played 39,600 times in the last, you know, 2.5 years or whatever it is. So that is so satisfying. I just want you all to know how grateful I am for all of this. Okay. So, so here we are in the new age of post 500 episodes, and this is 501. And so today, what I wanted to ask you and cover today, well, it starts with a question. Are you addicted to anger? Now, as you all know, I am doing a, or maybe you haven't heard yet, but in the last few episodes, I've been talking about a new program that I'm going to be launching in about 3 weeks or so. Please be patient with me. I'm dealing with a lot of moving parts here with the marketing and the setting up. I want to set it up on a few different platforms. I'm really trying to just reach as many people as I can to help as many people as I can. But what I'm going to do to support this program is in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to do a webinar. Okay. It's going to be about an hour long webinar, completely free. I do not even accept donations for this. Okay. So you just show up and I'll be sending out information about this in the next couple of days. Don't worry, you won't miss it. I'll make sure you don't miss it, okay? But yeah, it's going to be an hour-long webinar, and it's all about, you know, transforming anger, right? Because a lot of times you hear about anger management, right? And anger management is important, right? Because if your body, if you're acting in a way that is completely, you know, ragey and out of control with your anger, yeah, the first step is to put that fire out. Right. So I'm not saying that anger management is a bad thing necessarily or a misguided thing, but I do believe that it doesn't really address the true nature or the root of the issue. right? And the true nature of the issue, right? Because the fact of the matter is that when people say that I need to manage my anger, it almost sounds like you're trying to control something that is, you know, wrong, right? Something's bad and you're trying to fix it somehow, right? But the reality is, and it's really helpful to look at it in this way, is that anger is not something wrong, right? Anger is one of the most valuable tools that we possess emotionally. Right? I mean, all of us, right? Anger is something that can be it certainly is, without a doubt, the greatest motivating force that we have emotionally, right? All our emotions are there to motivate us, right? That's what our emotions exist to do, right? And anger is the most motivating of all the emotions. Okay. And so a lot of times when we try to turn away from our anger, or we say that, oh, no, my anger is bad. I can't have this anger in my life. This is terrible. I got to figure out how to fix this. I got to figure out how to manage this. Right. Well, what we're doing then is we're kind of, you know, we're taking the claws out of this really beautiful tool that we have. Right. And here's the thing, in my, you know, my methods are a little different, right? I'm not looking to manage your anger. I'm looking to transform your anger. Because right now, if anger exists as a problem for you, right, then what that means is that it's showing up in your life in disruptive and difficult ways, right? You know, whether it's in your relationship that you're having a hard time, you know, bickering and just, you know, holding resentment, holding grudges and this kind of thing. It could certainly be showing up in your work, right? I mean, my anger from my work, it kept me at a certain level for decades, right? I was not able to make that sort of next step in my career because the anger was holding me back, right? And not just because, you know, it wasn't anything necessarily specific, right? But anger, you know, it messes with all of your, you know, again, if it's not used in the proper way, it goes from being something that's really wonderfully motivating to something that can be debilitating. It can be literally paralyzing. It can result in a total inertia if it's not used properly, right? So, and again, one of the things I always say is that, you know, I'll tell you how, you know, I'll tell you if you have an anger problem by asking a couple of questions. I'll ask you two simple questions. Number one, are there any holes in the walls in your home that were made by your fist? Okay. You know, even if they've been repaired. Okay. That's question number one. Question number two, how many times have you had an emotional outburst in the last 30 days? And yeah, 30 days, right? Because that's the thing. Anger is something that is supposed to be used very sparingly. Very sparingly, and to the point where it becomes that rage thing, right? The emotion of anger is something you're going to feel all the time, but the amount of times that should become a shaking, red-faced, shouting kind of thing, that should be very rare. That should be a few times in your lifetime. But if you're like me, if you're like I used to be, then you experience that kind of anger, you know, almost daily. Right? And just like stress, that is really bad for your system, right? In fact, it's very tied into the stress response. When you're in that anger and your face is red and you're shaking because of the blood pressure, right? Because your blood pressure is spiked and you're not in a healthy place at that point. Your heart rate is running at a scary, you know, not scary rate, but it's elevated, and you're inviting heart arrhythmia, which is a very serious condition that's going to be with you, medicating it for the rest of your life after a certain point, right? And so, and that's not even to mention the things that you don't really like, the sort of secondary stuff about how it affects your digestive system, your lymphatic system, your immune system, your reproductive system. All of it, right? How it affects the telomeres, which is the way that your cells are literally duplicating themselves and dividing themselves and creating this organism that you have. You're literally affecting the building blocks of your body, right? Which is your chromosomes, right? I mean, that's what your telomeres are. I'll do another episode on that, but there is an episode. If you search telomeres, you'll find something, telomeres, telomeres. I don't want to start talking now because I'll take the rest of this video and tell you something I've already told you a few weeks ago or a few months ago. So anyway, the you know, we're not even talking about those, you know, sort of silent, invisible damages that are being done, right, by the anger. We're just talking about the stuff that actually shows up in your daily life, right? And so So most of the time, you know, when people are having these difficult, you know, this difficult relationship with anger, it becomes almost like an abusive relationship, right? Where anger is just, you know, it's the only way that you know how to handle things, right? And so the anger kind of takes over. Right. And that's what I mean by like an abusive relationship. It's like you have just one little bad, you know, thing happen, and all of a sudden, anger, you know, like there's no way around it. Right. And so if that's happened to you, and that is exactly how it works, by the way. Right. And I just experienced this morning. I went with my daughter. I recently bought my daughter a new iPad. Right. And so she wants to use that Procreate program. It's a wonderful program for kids to create. My daughter is very, very creative. I mean, you can see there's some stuff on my desk that she's drawn and painted and stuff. She's very, very creative. So I invested in this so that she could have it with a little pencil and stuff and do that. It's really exciting and stuff. So we went today to Verizon to get a cover for it. So in a screen protector so it wouldn't, you know, be damaged and stuff. And I get to Verizon and like, you know, like, no, you got to have your phone with you to pay now. Like there's no, just register. There's no, and all of these things in their own, right? So, okay. So anyway, I'll tell you the story. So I get there, you know, the lady shows us four or five different iPad covers. My daughter picks one. Great. Let's go. Okay. Here's my card. She says, no, well, I'm texting you a link so that you can pay. Like, what? I'm standing right here. What are you talking about? Texting me a link. And I feel my pocket. I don't even have my phone. So what do I do? And she's like, well, can you go get your phone? I was like, no, I'm in a store. I have my credit card in my hand. Can you just take my credit card? She's like, well, let's go over to the self-service kiosk. Like, really? And then I do the whole thing. I don't have my glasses on me because they're also in the car with my phone. And like, I'm just looking to pay somebody for a simple thing, you know? And so I get to the thing and I do the whole kiosk thing, put my card in, you know, whatever, do the whole thing. And then it asks me, where do you want your email receipt, your receipt email to? And I said, well, can't you just print it out? You know, she's like, no, we're paperless. Sorry. So I look and I was like, well, that's not my email address that's in there. And she's like, oh, here you go. Here, you can change it. Go ahead. I have my glasses. She's like, well, you can tell me. I was like, that doesn't feel very comfortable, you know? And so it was this whole thing. Any one of these things on its own, not a very big deal, right? But I felt the anger wanting to like come out, and you know, just like all those years I told you about before at that pet store, right? Like that's what was trying to come out, right? And so, and this is after years of working on this, right? It's always going to be there, right? It's something that you've practiced like I have for so long that it's always something you're going to have to be aware of, similar to alcoholism. Right? I am a recovering alcoholic. There is never a point where you say, I was a recovering alcoholic or I was an alcoholic, right? It is a lifelong commitment, right? You will always be an alcoholic. You could always be a rageaholic. You could always be a workaholic. Those things do not change just because you stop doing the thing, right? You're still susceptible to that addiction to that thing, okay? So I ask you again, are you addicted to anger? Right? Now, again, that's not an easy question to answer, right? Most people probably feel it's easy and say, no, I'm not. Of course not. I could quit any time, right? That's the old, you know, oldest line in the book, right? So the point is that a lot of us don't realize that we're addicted to anger. And it's not necessarily that it's hard to kind of articulate. You're not necessarily addicted to the anger, right? But what's happening is where this addiction comes from. Let me talk about that first, the source of what I'm talking about, because it's not really addiction to anger that we're talking about. What we're really talking about is addiction to crises. I'm going to explain to you what that means in a second. Okay, so again, when I'm treating people for, you know, when I'm helping people to kind of, you know, transform their anger, right, into something that's useful, right? Because anger rage in and of itself is not usually very useful, right? When you get to that point where you're out of control and you're blowing your lid, and again, unless that's like once or twice in your life, you know, you're not really doing anything constructive with that, right? Like that is not really helpful to you, right? But you can transform that motivation into something that is very helpful for you, right? And so when I'm working with people to do this, and when I worked on myself to do this, what you really becomes very evident very quickly in the process is that it's not the anger itself that's the issue, right? It's the relationship with which that we have built to the anger. That's the issue. That's where the trouble comes from. It's this relationship we have, right? And what I mean by that is that most of us as young children, right? And this is the other thing, right? On the landing page for my webinar, I have a little section on there that says, it's not your fault. And that's one of the biggest things I'm going to cover in the webinar, because it's so important that people understand that this is not your fault. Right? Most of us have been working on our anger dysfunction for our whole lives, right? And a very common experience that happens, right? And this happens with, I mean, many, many children, millions of children every year, right? Myself included, perhaps yourself included. You have an outburst, right? You scream as a kid, because the problem with kids, or not the problem with kids, it's not a problem with kids. The reality for kids is that they don't have the tools to monitor their emotions and to express their emotions in a healthy and positive way. Right, they just don't possess the capability. They also don't have in certain ages, their brains have not developed, you know, enough to the point where they can regulate their emotional outbursts, right? So they literally don't have the tools to build the house that we expect them to build, right? But when we realize that, hey, you're screwing up your house, and what that looks like is that you're having this emotional outburst, right? Something happened, like my son right now, right? He's up there playing a video game with a friend of his online, and he's literally like screaming at the top of his lungs because he's so upset about this game, right? Now, I've been guilty of this before, because I was just carrying the baton from my parents, right? And I've been guilty of this as a parent, and certainly I experienced this as a child with my parents, is that when I hear my son talking like that, or screaming and crying and banging the desk and stuff like that, right? It's very common for parents to go into that situation and say, your behavior is unacceptable. And I need you to stop it now, right? Now, it's a tricky thing for parents, right? And this is something that we're going to talk about also in the course for people who are parents. This is going to be a very important aspect of this course, because you don't even realize that you're doing it properly, right? Just like I didn't realize that I was doing it for so many years. But the problem with doing that, right, is you're putting your child in a position that is untenable. There's no way out. There's no winning in that situation, right? What happens is, right, because again, your child is not making the active, conscious decision to lose their temper, right? That's not what's happening. Your child is losing their temper because they simply don't have control. And they don't have control because they don't possess the tools to control. But what happens is the behavior is still unacceptable, right? Like the parents are, you know, and again, I was guilty of this. So many parents are guilty of this. So please don't feel shame if this is something you've been doing, okay? It's not about feeling shame. It's about changing it. And we can do that together, okay? But what happens is parents tend to focus on the short-term behavioral issues, and they sacrifice the long-term developmental issues in the service of the short-term behavioral issues, meaning I can't handle him screaming like that. So for me, the only thing that has to happen right now is the screaming has to stop. The trouble with that is that when I tell him to just, you know, your behavior is unacceptable, I need you to stop now, he doesn't have anywhere to put that energy, right? And so what he does is he just bottles it in, right? And of course, he learns from me as his father that that's what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to bottle it up. Just stuff it down inside. It doesn't matter how bad you feel, you cannot express yourself in that way. That is setting up a really difficult situation. And that's what winds up with people like you sitting here watching this video about this webinar that's coming up and this course that's coming up all about anger. The reason you're still watching this is because you have a hard time with anger. The reason, pardon me, the reason you have a hard time with anger is very possibly because of exactly what I just described, because you were told by the people who meant the most to you, the people who were, you know, the very caregivers, the very people responsible for your entire world, told you that you couldn't get angry. But you're supposed to get angry. It's a natural experience. It's a natural emotion. It's a very important emotion. But you've spent your whole life from the time you were 3 years old, or even two, the terrible twos, you know, all the way up to 30, 40, 50 years old. And all this time you've been struggling with this emotion that wants to get out, but it can't get out because you've practiced so much when you were a young child. You practice, and it's not just your parents either, right? It's the school, it's the coaches, it's the friends' parents, it's all the grandparents, all that stuff, right? But all these people, when you were younger, they told you, don't do that. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. Don't yell. Don't snap at people. Don't stomp your feet. Don't do that stuff because it's wrong. Well, fast forward 2, 3, 4 decades, 5 decades, and now you have this really difficult thing that happens to you, right? You get angry, but you don't know how to express it because you spent all that time practicing not expressing it, okay? That's where addiction to crisis comes in, and this is something I just read about this the other day, and I picked up this little book, just to do some further research. Anger, that's a title, right? Deal with it, heal with it, stop it from killing you, right? It's an okay book. It's written by a psychologist. It's all right. I'm picking up a couple of things, but the one thing that he did talk about is this crisis addiction, which that hit me like a load of bricks, right? crisis addiction, right? So what happens is when we spend our whole life bottling up this anger and refusing ourselves the opportunity to express the anger and let it out, right, which is the healthy thing to do, you know, as we bottled it out, again, this energy has to go somewhere. It can't just stay in you, and it literally will kill you. Okay, there's a whole book, I've talked about this quite a bit, Dr. Gabor Mate, he was in the palliative care ward for years as a doctor, and he talked to people, all the people that he talked to there, you know, he wrote a whole book about it called When the Body Says No. And that is a very good book. Patient after patient after patient that he, you know, talked to in the palliative care ward, all of them had the same childhood story, which was that anger was something that was chastised. Like, you weren't allowed to get angry. You weren't allowed to express your anger. So what happens is when you hold that in, it just wreaks havoc in your system. You know, like I talked about before, your digestive system, your immune system, your lymphatic system, your endocrine system, which is all your hormones, right? The whole thing just gets completely thrown off. Your whole body gets thrown off when you're trying to hold this anger inside. Mark Twain calls anger an acid which does more harm on the vessel in which it is stored than on the person on whom it is poured. Far as I screwed up a couple of prepositions there, but you get what I'm saying. And that's what's happening. It's literally eating you up, right? And so what happens is when a crisis arises in our lives, and I really identify this, this used to happen to me all the time. When a crisis arises in your life, that gives you the opportunity, right, to just let whatever emotions, right? It's that release. And that's why it feels so good, right? It also feels really good after you lose your temper. Okay, we're going to talk about that in another episode. That's a really important thing, right? That it doesn't necessarily feel good while you're in a rage, right? But afterward, there's like this, you get this like endorphin and dopamine rush and this, you know, you actually feel like you're, you know, it's almost like the feeling after you've had a really good cry, you know? Have you ever had that, like, where you just really bawl your eyes out and afterward you just feel like, oh man, oh, it feels kind of good now, you know? It's like that. It's like you feel like kind of, you know, numb and tingly in a way. At least that's how it manifests for me. But the point is, though, that it feels finally, it's like finally I let that out. and I feel okay now, right? For a little while, right? And so what happens is anytime there's a crisis, right? If somebody's in the emergency, you're okay, drop everything. It gives you license to drop everything in your life and just put all of your emotions into the, you know, into the crisis. And that's that release. And so what happens then, right, is we become addicted to that because it feels so good. Well, I mean, that's also the rage addiction, right? That's one of the reasons, because when we allow that rage to just, you know, it feels good after. It's like that release that we've never been able to do, right? And so crisis addiction is very similar to rage addiction, right? That you feel like every time there's a crisis, there's a car accident, there's a, you know, somebody's sick, somebody had to go to the hospital, somebody, you know, whatever, the dog got lost, you got to make flyers for the cat, you know, it allows you to just, you know, get into that emotion that is trying to get out of you. And it allows you to just rip a hole and let it all out, right? Because you don't worry when you're in a crisis. You don't worry about what your emotions are doing, right? But then what happens is that you actually start looking for crises in your life, because subconsciously you realize that this is so good when I get to do this, right? So then when you hear a bang in your house, you're thinking somebody's got to go to the hospital. Right. When you, when you're driving, you're just waiting for somebody to hit you. Right. You know, when you're opening up your email, you're like, what's the bad news going to be? You know, that's a big problem for people. Right. And that's what we talk about even before anger. Right. I mean, that's the negative emotions. Right. When you're in that state and you're operating from that place of fear, because that's what it is, really, you know, you're almost like addicted to the fear, right? Because the crisis is a time when it's a great fear, right? And that's what allows that trigger to just let all of it out, right? And so when you're addicted to the fear, you're looking for the crisis, well, then you're going to operate from fear all the time. And that's certainly not going to do anything beneficial for your anger, right? But it's also not going to do anything beneficial for any area of your life, right? You know, the idea is to transform ourselves from, and to be sure, when you're operating from fear, when you're constantly in a state of fear, well, then you're also experiencing chronic stress, right? I guarantee that. I can tell you that. You know, give me 30 seconds to talk with you and I'll prove it to you, right? And so you're making yourself sick. Right? You're literally making yourself sick. You cannot live very long with being in chronic stress. No human being can. And that's why the animals don't do it, right? And so what happens is when you're constantly looking for the crisis, that's almost like staying in that fight or flight state, right? And that's not good for you. So there's lots of practices that we can use to get out of that addiction to crises. Gratitude journal, practice compassion, practice kindness, right? And I have some easy peasy lemon squeezy exercises I could give you for that. So if you're interested in that, drop a line, okay? Send me an email, or I will put a link in the description, as I always do these days, with a link to get to my calendar and book a call with me, okay? It's very simple. You click on the link, enter your name, your email address, and answer just a simple question as to where you heard about me, kind of thing, you know, just so I can sort of maybe someday track this stuff. And just, you know, just click save, and then the rest is up to me. Right, you'll actually get an email from me, and it will, you know, and I'll take care of the rest of it. Okay, and then when the date and time that you've picked, you know, that's when we'll meet, and we'll talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. Whether it's something about this, giving you some practices, or it's about my upcoming program or webinar. All right. So if you have any questions for now, if it's a question of just, hey, I want these practices, you know, just email me. I'll email them right to you, and then we'll follow up with a phone call. Okay. Because I do like to talk to people rather than just sending the practices, because there's some nuance and there's some intricacy. So I like to make sure that I get a chance to explain things a little bit just for your benefit. Okay. But certainly if you need them, send me an email and I'll get them right out to you. So at least you can start doing the practice, and then we'll follow up with a phone call. All right. All right, everybody. And if, again, anything else, if you want to just book that call to find out about the program, or if you want me to save you a spot in the program, just email me that too. A couple of people have done that, and your spots are completely secure, I promise you. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for watching. And here's the 501, baby. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.